Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because we have four amazing writers with us. Susan Eusen is here with her sons, Tom, Will, and Dan. And Susan is not only a best-selling author, investigative health coach, and international speaker, but she also, in her background, was an environmental biologist and research scientist. And she and her sons have a real passion about informing people about technology and some of the harm that technology, as wonderful as it is in our life, can cause. And they are the authors of the new bestseller, Tormented by Technology. Susan, Tom, Will, Dan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having
us,
Vicki.
Thanks, Vicki.
So I wanted to start out in So you have such an interesting background. You all do, but so maybe you could start out and tell us a little bit about how you came to your passion and purpose about helping people in this unusual way.
Okay, absolutely. I find myself always evolving. I first became passionate about helping people after I found ways to help myself. So I developed a number of illnesses and problems over several decades. And as you mentioned, I was a research scientist previously. So I really kind of forced myself to do some research and think outside the box and just went on a mission to help myself, to find solutions that were maybe outside of the scope of medicine, looking at some alternatives, really questioning how I can heal, like what I needed, what my body needed. And once I found those answers, I kind of went on a mission with that to help other people so that they can look outside the box too, because oftentimes medicine doesn't have the answers and they don't know what to do when you have a symptom that doesn't fit into the box. So for me, it's really been about asking if there is another way and then, you know, just pursuing all avenues until you find the solution that works for you.
That is really wonderful and so needed in this day and age. So tell us a little bit about how this passion converted for you and for your boys to write such a fabulous book.
Well, I really never wanted to be an author, to tell you the truth. You know, it was never kind of on my to-do list in life. And way back about 2005, I had begun using tapping. And I became so passionate about it because I saw it helping so many people. And I was looking for a book to help kids with tapping and never could find one. So, you know, just kind of on a whim, I decided that I would write an affirmation. I was learning about affirmations and the law of attraction at that time. And I wrote an affirmation that I would write the book. And I did it kind of jokingly, but it actually ended up resulting in the book, my first book, Tap Into Joy, which has become a bestseller and is still a bestseller after all these years and has been translated into a couple of different languages. It's kind of one thing led to the next. And then before you knew it, I needed a book for older kids. So I did a book for teenagers. And then adults wanted other topics that weren't relative to children. So I did another book, and it was like it just kept evolving. So I never really planned to do it. I never planned to write any books, let alone 10 books. But this one in particular really became important as technology started harming me in a big way. It took me really a couple of years of my health declining, and it got really serious until I figured out what it was. So that's really how we kind of made the decision to do this book.
Well, again, so fantastic and so empowering for all the readers who do go out and get the book, and I hope everyone listening will do that. What inspired you to create and to write, especially since you weren't planning on writing?
It was almost like a mission or a divine calling where I just felt like the information that I had, I felt would have been selfish not to share it with the world. So it was really like a message that I wanted to get out into the world. So whether it was tapping and whether, you know, it was about helping kids overcome fears and that sort of thing, or something much more serious like the technology issue and what it's doing to us, I've always just felt like if you have something important, you have to share that. You know, you don't want to go to your grave with a message that the world needs to hear.
I am such a believer in that. I think everyone has not only the right, but the responsibility to get their unique messages out there, because people really do need to hear it, and everyone has something really relevant to share with the world. So I couldn't agree with you more. So what kind of challenges have you faced with your writing, or any of you?
Well, I'll start with that if that's okay. You know,
sure.
My challenge was really not in the form of writer's block. As you know, I've put another book out this year called Bridging Medicine and Miracles. And in the process of writing that book, I got super sick. And I literally had to put the book down, and I spent 4 months in bed. So these health challenges that I later discovered were caused by my smart meter, my cell phone, my cordless phones, that sort of thing, really impacted my health so seriously. And also, not only just my physical health, but my mental health as well. It began impacting my brain and my memory. I grew up with a photographic memory, so this was a big challenge for me to all of a sudden not be able to remember, you know, what I had for breakfast. So it was very difficult for me then to write because my brain was not functioning properly. So that was when I asked my three adult sons if they would come on board with me and help me to get this book out, because it was really all about the mission, and they saw the struggle that I went through, and they knew how important it was for me to get the information out. So we all kind of joined forces and decided that, you know, we would do this. We would get this book out at whatever cost. So that's really my perspective on that question.
Yeah, and this is Tom, and I'll kind of piggyback off of what you said, Mom. And, you know, I think for a lot of people, just time can be an issue. They think that they don't, you know, have the time to get something published, write a book or whatever it is. But whether you're writing a book, a blog post, or doing a vlog or anything of that nature, I think a lot of people don't end up pursuing or publishing any of their ideas because they're afraid that it's not going to be perfect. And I think that it's important that you don't pursue perfection, but that you pursue progress. If you just start something, you start getting your ideas down, I think it all comes together. And I can comment for myself that I run a business and I'm putting 60, 70 hours in a week, and the limiting belief that I didn't have time to be a part of a book, as well as that I'm not, you know, a really great author. This would be my first official publishing, that it was a little fearful to start the process. But, you know, I would encourage anybody that it's actually a lot easier than you would think. Once you start getting the ideas down on paper, you'd be surprised at, you know, what an accomplishment you can come up with.
Oh, that's such a great point. Great tip. Sue, do you have any other favorite tips?
I think the most important thing is to remain consistent and be persistent. If you need to put it away, you know, your manuscript away or your story away for a while, put it away, but be persistent. Get it back out. Don't give up. Set aside time to write. Even if you just take an hour every day, you know, a lot of people are working full time. It's not like they have the luxury of spending hours and hours each day writing, but even if they just took an hour a day to jot down notes or something so that they can keep going and just, you know, as I said, don't give up. Just keep being persistent.
Oh,
yeah. If I can, sorry, Vic, if I could pick you off some of the tips too. So, you know, I graduated DePaul University in June, and I kind of felt that, you know, I was done with writing essays and papers. You know, I was hoping that I would get some time to relax and kind of finish with all the homework and assignments, but for us brothers, we all saw how sick our mom was getting and saw how much research was surfacing about the dangers of radio frequencies and technology in general. So for me, I really had to focus on the impact that this book would have, you know, rather than the workload that it would require. And it kind of made me feel like, you know, I have to not be selfish and take some time to do something that I wasn't particularly motivated to do before, but after seeing that we had the opportunity to help a lot of people, it just felt like it came to us naturally. And then also, I'm a guy that gets very easily distracted. So for me, one simple tip just for writing is cutting out distractions as best as you can. And for me, that meant turning off my phone, you know, not using the internet at all, many times I would actually write just with a pen and paper and kind of just brainstorm. I felt that the flow kind of just came more naturally that way. And then finding a good atmosphere, I would always go to my public library, and I had a little tiny hidden room in the corner next to the kids section, actually, but no one ever went back there, so it was nice and quiet, and that's where I got most of my progress done for the book. My last tip would be the power of collaborating and communicating. You know, feedback is something that's really important, you know, whether, you know, you're doing homework, you're looking for advice with relationships, or you're writing a book. And obviously our family was in a unique situation to where obviously we all are very comfortable working with each other and we're all in the same boat. So we were very lucky and fortunate to be able to communicate and collaborate, bounce ideas off of each other, and kind of keep the book more of a conversation rather than, you know, an actual text or something like that. So overall, I would just say, you know, focusing on the impact, cutting out distractions, and then using the power of feedback and collaboration.
That is really wonderful. And who was that? Was that Tom, Will, Dan?
Dan.
I just want to make sure. Dan. Well, thank you so much for that, because I think that, again, that is absolutely so important. And it really takes a certain style and talent to be able to have a book be communicated where it flows in that respect. And for all of you to collaborate on this book and make that happen, which I really think you have achieved, is wonderful. So I'd love to hear from all of you about what you hope readers will take away from your book.
This is Will. I'll speak to this first. I'm sure we all have something great to add. But firstly, the big word, the key word for me is awareness. Awareness is, in my opinion, it's the first step to deciding what you're going to do with the information. You really can't do anything if you don't know about it. Once you know, then you can ask yourself follow-up questions. Am I going to use this for my self-benefit, just to benefit myself and maybe my family? Or am I going to take it a step further, spread the word, and try and help other people as well. So I really think that knowledge is power, and that I really hope the reader just takes that away after reading this book and they feel the empowerment to go and make some changes in their life and hopefully even other people as well, just for overall betterment. And living in downtown Chicago, you really notice when you're taking public transit, whether it be the bus or the train, that nearly every single individual that's aboard the train or the bus is looking down at their phones, streaming some sort of video, YouTube video, watching Netflix. They're all on their personal devices. And I never really thought twice about that. It just kind of became the norm. And it wasn't until we started conducting all of the research about the dangers of technology, and specifically devices like cell phones, that I started looking at that in a different light and thinking about how damaging that could be for people. So just taking things like that into consideration, I think that's really the first step that I hope readers take away.
Beautiful. So who else would like to share?
This is Tom, and I agree with Will wholeheartedly. Whether you realize you're being affected by this overabundance of radio frequencies and just static in the air or not, just being an average citizen, homeowner, employee, just an average person, whether you feel the effects right now or not, it is causing a tremendous effect on us, and it takes time for that effect to show itself. So awareness and understand, trying to prevent this issue before you have to react and try and treat it, like the case with my mom being so RF sensitive, it's better to just limit your exposure, and we teach you dozens of simple steps that you could take in your home and on the road and at work that will really just minimize your exposure. And most of them are completely free things that you can do that are just making a few simple changes in habits in your day-to-day activities, but you don't have to buy any expensive products or have to get on any crazy regimens. It's really simple once you understand it, and I think it's all presented in a really well-bundled package, and I think readers will get a lot from it.
Fabulous. Who else would like to share some information?
That was really well said. I definitely agree with what Will and Tom said. This is Dan speaking. Yeah, I really think that the main thing that we wanted to get across, kind of all across the board, was that we wanted to raise awareness, obviously, but I think that many of the things that we found that helped us were some of the things that Tom mentioned that don't cost anything. It doesn't require that you change your lifestyle or habits drastically whatsoever. You know, it's really just little things like, for example, one thing that helps me a lot is just before I go to sleep at night, I just simply open up my phone and just toss it on airplane mode. And, you know, for me, that just gives me, I guess, just the peace of mind to where I know I can sleep all night without getting zapped. And, you know, that's a 6 to 8 hour period every single day for your whole life to where you could cut out the exposure of RFs just by taking 1 second to click airplane mode. So that's something, you know, for me to where I just sleep better at night. I know that I'm not going to be getting little dings and messages all night. And then also my conversations are much better in person. I've noticed when I have my phone on airplane mode or when I just turn it off. If anyone's ever gone out to dinner with friends or to a party or something and everyone's on their phone, you kind of just feel lost. And for me, it's kind of one of those things where I want to raise awareness not only of the dangers of RFs, but also the benefits of just managing how much you use your phone and benefits of kind of just putting it away and looking up and just breathing in, you know, normal life without technology for a little bit.
Fabulous. Sue, we have to hear from you about what you would like to have readers take away since this book was really your concept initially.
Absolutely. There's a huge body of scientific evidence that proves that all of this radiation is affecting us. And unfortunately, it's not brought up on the mainstream news. But the fact of the matter is, it is causing harm. It's causing harm to everyone, whether they notice any effects or not at a cellular level. Our exposure to radiation is cumulative, so over time it just adds up, and we never know when that point will be when our body has had too much. So I think it's great what each of the boys shared about, you know, reducing exposure and taking some action steps to reduce or limit your exposure now, even if you feel great. Simply turning off your phone and turning off your Wi-Fi at night can make a huge difference. And I know, Vicki, you have pets, and for your pets too, you know, if you turn your Wi-Fi off when you go to work during the day, your pet's not being exposed all day unnecessarily. So there's a lot of tips like that in the book. I think it's just important overall to realize that exposure is cumulative, so any amount you can reduce will protect your health.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Just really, really, again, an important message for everyone out there. And Sue, you have done so much with your life. One of the greatest accomplishments, well, three of them, are these amazing young men that you have given birth to and raised. You've also been an environmental biologist and research scientist, best-selling author. I mean, it just goes on and on. Health coach, international speaker. If you were to look at the book almost as a legacy that would impact the world, what would that look like for you?
Well, I would like to see people taking action to protect themselves as a result of our book. To me, that's most important. We interviewed a few dozen people to get their stories, to learn what they're living with, and I think it's 11 or 12 that we put into the book. But there's a huge range of symptoms for people that are being impacted and that feel the effect of radiation, and it ranges from simple tingling of their fingertips while they're on their phone to severe shutdown of their body where they have to literally live in the woods with no electricity because it gets that bad. So there's a huge range of symptoms. I guess I would like for people who are experiencing symptoms to realize or maybe be able to read through all of the stories from these interviews that we have done and identify with some of those subjects so that they can see how their gadgets might be harming them. And then also for people to stand together and demand more unbiased science and safety standards, which protect us, because so many of the guidelines right now are really set in place by industry, essentially. There's a large body of scientific proof that our devices are causing physical and emotional harm. So I would like to see people standing together and really demanding that. And parents protecting their children and limiting the time that their kids are on their devices. So many parents are allowing kids to use their devices for entertainment, but they need to like engage them in other ways and only let them use devices when necessary to demand safer technology in schools for their kids. So those are some of the things that I would like to see, some changes in the world really at a higher level that can happen after this book gets out and people learn more about technology and how it's harming them.
Fabulous. Thank you all so much. And I know that Tormented by Technology can be found in major bookstores everywhere. Is there also a link where someone can connect with you to learn more?
Yes, there is. The umbrella website would be tapintobalance.com. That's TAPINTOBALANCE.com. And if anyone would like to email, the best email would be Susan@tapintobalance.com.
Fabulous. Thank you all so much for being with us today.
And thank you for helping people to get their message out into the world.
That is so kind of you. And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcasts and communities, you can find us at mybookmybiz.com. That's M-Y-B-O-O-K-M-Y-B-I-Z.com. And everyone have a fabulous week.